Welcome to the Authentic Life Connection Podcast. I'm your host, Seth Lusk. I'm a master certified life coach, author, personal trainer, and nutrition specialist. For over a decade, I've been helping people with their dreams and goals for their life and health. I spent many years watching people get frustrated with their journey in life and giving up on taking actions towards their goals. So I dug in deep to find answers to why so many of us face this same frustration and struggle in life. So in this podcast, we're going to dive in deep on topics surrounding what it means to consistently live a fulfilling and authentic life, where you are unstoppable in taking action towards your dreams and goals. So the only question is, are you ready to start living your most authentic and fulfilling life once and for all? Then let's get started, shall we? Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. For those of you listening in for the first time, welcome, welcome. You picked a great episode to join in on for your first time because we are talking about something that affects so many people these days. So many people, especially you millennials out there. I know you hear me because so many of us are getting diagnosed with this ADHD that, you know, it's debatable whether or not this is an actual disease that we've all just somehow been inflicted with all of a sudden, or maybe we're just now understanding the disease. And then there's also the debate that this is actually just a symptom of something else going on that is coming out in our generation, and we're diagnosing it as a disease because we don't understand what's actually going on. I tend to fall in the third camp. Now, granted, I do believe that obviously we have misunderstood the human brain for a very long time, and now we are understanding it a bit more. I think that the direction that the psychiatry and psychological community take tends to be that of our medical system, which is that of sick care, not actual health care. And therefore, the approach tends to be one of diagnosing and giving a medication. I don't agree typically with this way of handling issues with a person's mind, brain, thoughts, and how they work, because typically speaking, the solution of diagnosing someone with a disease and then giving them medication, it just masks the symptoms. It doesn't get to the underlying issue. And a lot of times what we're calling disease is not actually disease. It's our brain trying to cope with and deal with a reality that we have fed it that doesn't necessarily have to be the truth of our reality. And as long as our brain believes that that is the truth of our reality, it shows up in this way and even wires itself to act in a certain way to cope with and handle that story about reality that we've handed it. And so I feel like distraction and the diagnosing of ADHD has become so rampant. Not because all of a sudden our generation has just brains that are wired to be ADHD. I think that ADHD is a symptom of a survival mechanism in our brain that is very misinformed and is showing up in a very inappropriate way in modern context because we don't know how to put it into context. We don't know how to understand what is going on and how to work through this and find solutions for it versus just being like, oh, this is a problem with the brain. It needs medicated, period. And I'm also not saying that medication cannot help. I do understand that there is a point in time in which we have forced the brain to try and cope with the story that we call reality for a period of time to which it has wired itself in a way that medication can help return the brain to a safe baseline at which we can then put in the work to rework and rewire the way our brain is functioning. My problem with how we currently approach diagnosis of this is that it's the medication is the solution, not the medication is a tool so that we can find the solution. And that's where we run into problems. So today we're talking all about distraction and what it actually is. I've already done an episode on this where I talked to you all about distraction and traction and how a lot of us are focusing on, okay, well, I'm distracted, I need more focus. And I did a whole entire episode where I told you all what the truth is, that the opposite of distraction is not focus, it is traction. And if you want to go back and listen to that episode, I think the episode was titled Traction or Focus, which one is it that you need, or something like that. Go look up the episode. I'll actually put it in the show notes below. Look up the episode and have a listen to that so you can understand a little bit about this. But we're also going to talk a little bit about it today. So the opposite of distraction is not focus, it's traction. And in order to understand this, we need to understand what distraction actually is. Distraction is not what we've all been taught to think that it is, that it's this trigger outside of us that happens, and all of a sudden our brain gets pulled away from what we're doing by something that's happened outside of us, and we're all of a sudden distracted and blah, blah. Distraction is actually a behavior. It is a habit that we get into. And Nir Eyal, who is an author and public speaker, has done a lot of work in sort of revealing a lot of the truth behind distraction. Go check out his work. He has a great book called Indistractable that I recommend for anyone who is struggling with distraction. But as I've always said and I will continue to say, books are not a solution either. Books are a way for us to create awareness of issues that we're struggling with. To put the work into action, you're going to want to actually work with someone to understand how distraction is showing up in your life, why it's showing up in your life, and how the solutions are going to work with your particular experience of life and where you are in life. Books are not designed to do this. My book that I have, I have a personal development book out there. It is not designed to do that. It is not a substitute for hiring a coach and working with a coach on solving for the issues that you're reading about, such as distraction. But Nir Eyal has a great book out called Indistractable, in which he sort of breaks down a lot of the misconceptions around distraction and distractibility. And today, what I want to talk with you all about is this idea that the opposite of distraction is not focus, it is traction. And that there is an element of our focus when it comes to distraction that is not serving us. And I want to talk about that today. So many of us are out here looking for things in our life, maybe even in our brains. We're trying to find ways that our brain is wired. And that's where all of the craze for being diagnosed with ADHD, I believe, has come from, is because the way we approach our problems is that we want to look for the cause as being caused by something other than choices that we're making, other than habits that we've created, other than thought processes that we've created. We want something that is to blame, whether it be the brain, whether it be our phones, whether it be the internet, whether it be social media, whether it be television, whether it be whatever we want to blame for distraction. So many of us are asking the question, why are we so distracted? And this right here is something that we're not paying attention to. Are we asking the question that's actually going to lead us to the answer that we're searching for? And I'm here to say that if we are asking the question, why are we so distracted, what we are going to end up with are these half-assed solutions that mask symptoms but don't get to the underlying problem. Because when we ask, why are we so distracted, we see distracted as something that happens to us. We don't see distraction as something that we choose, as a habit that we create for a reason. So I want to pose something to you all here today, that we rephrase this and focus on this in a slightly different way and see what it brings, because I think it's going to make a huge difference, not only individually, but societally, how we focus this, how we focus in on this idea of distraction. So the question that I want to pose is not, why are we so distracted? But why are we so distractible? And there is a big difference in these questions. Because when we look at why are we so distracted, something is to blame out there, or even our brain can be we're so distracted because our brains, there's something wrong with our brains. There's something wrong with how society, blah, 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 blah. There's something wrong with how much time we spend on our phones. There's something wrong with having these phones. There's something wrong with having access to the internet. There's something wrong with social media. There's something wrong with the news. There's something wrong with immediate gratification. You know, we're always looking out there for the solution when we ask, why are we so distracted, versus why are we so distractable? So when we answer the question, why are we so distractible, we approach our focus on distraction a little bit differently. Because when it comes to distraction, what is happening is our attention is being diverted from a task at hand, from a place of intended focus on a goal that is important for us, that is meaningful for us. We intentionally place our focus on something or into something because we desire to achieve something in our life. And traction, the opposite of distraction, traction is anything that we do that moves us towards that goal or achievement. Distraction happens when our attention goes to anything that either stops us from moving towards the intended goal or causes us to move in a different direction from the intended goal. This is distraction. It is the breaking of our attention from the breaking of our attention, our energy, and our action from the thing that brings us closer to our desired goal or achievement that we want in life that is important for us to something else. So distraction can basically be the breaking of traction towards the original intent of focus. And this brings us back. So the question that we've been asking is, why are we so distracted? And what have the answers have been? Oh, our cell phones. There's too many pings and dings and blah, 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 blah. So we have all these apps now on phones that we can have notifications turned off. We can have blah, 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 blah turned off. And, you know, the thing is, a lot of my clients, when they come to work with me, they're using these apps and they work for a small period of time, only to find that they then find the ways that they can turn off the apps and they work around it and they end up using their phone anyways. Why is that happening? Because the truth is, if we're looking at why are we so distracted and we're blaming these devices, we're blaming social media, we're blaming the notifications, we're blaming all the pings and dings and noises out there. When we search for solutions to block out those noises out there, which we have billions of them available today, noise-canceling headphones, applications you can get on your phone to keep you from accessing it, blah, 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 blah. The list goes on and on of all of the, you know, guru gadgets and gizmos and apps and whatevers you can buy out there that are going to block your attention-grabbing distractions in the environment around you. And the truth of the matter is they're all bullshit, because all they do is they cause a barrier between us and an external trigger. But that external trigger, here's another thing that Nirayal talks about. That external trigger only accounts for about 10% of our distraction. 90% of our distraction comes from internal triggers. So the question needs to be, why are we so distractible? So we can look inside at what are those internal triggers that are causing 90% of our distraction, because it's not the external triggers. Like I said, my clients come to me and they're using all of the tools, they're using all of the apps, they're using all of the gizmos and gadgets that block out distraction. But then they always end up finding eventually a workaround to where that no longer stops them from distracting themselves. And yes, distracting themselves is the proper word there, because nothing distracts us. We distract ourselves with things. And this is why the question, why are we so distracted, and then blaming things is the reason why we're distracted, blaming our brains even for why we're distracted, disempowers us and keeps us from getting to the solution of why are we so distractible. When we look at distraction from a slightly different perspective here, it really brings this into focus. And this is the way I want you to begin looking at distraction. Distraction is a habit. Distraction is not something that happens to us. Distraction is a habit or an action that we choose. It is a behavior. It is a coping mechanism. Let that sink in there. Distraction is not something that happens to you. It is a chosen behavior that we repeat over and over again until it becomes a habit. It is a coping mechanism. It's used by the brain to help us deal with pain that is both physical and emotional. This is where internal triggers comes in. In certain contexts, this can be very helpful. Such as if we're in a case of severe pain, we can distract ourselves from the pain in order to survive that severe pain until we find the underlying cause of the pain and we solve for the pain. Notice how here, what I'm saying is the distraction can help us to deal with the pain until we find the underlying cause. The problem that we have is that when it comes to emotional pain, which is what we're dealing with, the internal triggers, we are trying to distract ourselves from that emotional pain, but then we're never looking for a solution as to why the emotional pain is actually happening. So when, in the instance of severe physical pain, we distract ourselves from the severe physical pain until a solution is found to get rid of the severe physical pain. We solve for the cause of the severe physical pain, such as if you have an infected tooth. So the distraction would be taking ibuprofen, taking painkillers to deal with the pain, to numb it out until we deal with the infection that is causing the pain. But what most of us are doing is we're just taking painkillers for our emotional pain. Social media, television, food, alcohol, our phones, writing emails, busyness, all of the things that we can use to distract ourselves from our emotional pain. But we're not actually looking at the source of the emotional pain to deal with the internal triggers. So I get that distraction served a purpose at one point in time, and it still can serve a purpose. It can also serve a purpose in situations in which we are stuck somewhere and we just have to sit there and there's nothing to do. We can internally distract ourselves from the fact that we are sitting there and there's nothing to do. Now, the truth of the matter is most of us at this point in time in our life have built up enough things that we want to do in our life that we have been avoiding doing, that even if we were sitting somewhere where there was nothing to do, we could mentally focus on solving a problem that we want to solve in our life and gain traction on that. But I can see how distraction works in situations where there's nothing to do. You've already solved all of the things in your life that you wanted to solve. You're already doing all the things in your life you want to do. And right now you're just sitting here with nothing to do. Distraction is our way of coping with that emotional pain that comes from that feeling of boredom. And in certain circumstances, I can see how this could be useful. The problem is most of us are feeling bored now because we're so addicted to dopamine hits constantly that even a second of not having a dopamine hit from social media, television, food, alcohol, a snack, you know, something, music, something distracting us, that we can't bear the idea of boredom being around long enough for us to remember what is important for us to do. And instead, we just constantly seek a distraction. So I can see how distraction as a coping mechanism has served us in the past and can serve us in certain very small contextual situations. But the problem is we are using distraction in situations where it is no longer helpful. We end up using this habit when things are important for us but feel difficult for us to do. There's work that goes along with it that feels a little bit mundane and we don't feel like doing it because it's not giving us the big dopamine rush that we're used to having all the time from scrolling through TikTok and Instagram and Reel videos and Facebook and all of the other social media platforms that I can't even think of now because I'm almost 40 years old and I'm so far behind on the times. So the problem is we've started to use distraction in situations to cope with emotional pain in areas where we want to grow. Most of us are finding ourselves distracted from the work that would get us out there to do the things, the projects that we've told ourselves that we want to give our attention to because it's important for us, but we're distracting ourselves from those. We're not distracting ourselves from physical pain. We're distracting ourselves from emotional pain. Or most of us might call it emotional discomfort because some people might think that pain is a bit of an extreme word. But the truth is, it is pain. To the brain, it still feels like pain. Emotional discomfort to the brain is the same as pain. It's even the same as physical pain to the brain. And when we don't understand this, and the brain urges us to distract ourselves from our emotional discomfort, we think that we need to listen to it because our brain tells us, hey, this is important. We got to get away from this. This is dangerous right here. Because our brain reacts to it the same way it reacts to the sensation of physical pain, which tells us, hey, we got to get away from this. Get away from the snake that's biting you. Get your hand off of the burner that you're burning yourself with. You know, let go of the thing that is stabbing you, like whatever it is. Our brain thinks it's the same thing. The emotional discomfort, the brain's like, well, obviously we're doing something wrong here. We need to distract ourselves from this. So the brain uses distraction as a coping mechanism for emotional discomfort and deals with it with the same urgency as it does with physical pain. And this is why I say that asking the question of why we are so distracted doesn't really serve us on our quest to find solutions here. Because when we ask why we are so distracted, we point to the vast number of devices and services and things out there that we use as a way to distract ourselves. And then we say, that's why I'm so distracted, instead of saying, I'm using that to distract myself. Why am I distracting myself? Why am I so distractible? Because we are using these things to distract ourselves. We are distractible because we want to distract ourselves. Why have we become so distractible? Why have we created such a strong desire to distract ourselves? And the truth is, it's because we have all become the masters at practicing the avoidance of emotional discomfort. We live in a world, in a society, surrounding us with the idea that it is good to avoid emotional discomfort. We live in a time where not only is it so prevalent, such a prevalent societal mindset for the fact that if it feels bad, it's bad for you. Emotional discomfort is bad for you. It should be avoided. It should be suppressed. You should have less of it. And we live in a time where this is the societal mindset, and at the same time, there are billions of options and more coming out daily that are available to us to help us in that desire to escape and avoid that emotional discomfort. And then only strengthens our belief that emotional pain should be avoided because we have created the habit of doing it. And we keep increasing our likelihood to seek out ways to escape. And the ways that we can do it become more and more available on a daily basis. So we have become masters at strengthening this habit of avoiding emotional discomfort. So why have we become so distractible? The answer is because we have all become very practiced in believing and acting on the belief that emotional discomfort is to be avoided. And we have the means to do this every second of every day. Just look right now, I guarantee you, wherever your dominant hand is, if you look within 2 feet of it, you're going to find this certain rectangular device sitting within reach that with the touch of your hand will light up and will show you a screen that can take you anywhere in the world other than right here, right now, experiencing the emotional discomfort that you're experiencing. All you have to do is choose to do it. So at any moment in time, if right here feels uncomfortable for you, even if the task at hand is so important, the habit of escaping that emotional discomfort is probably stronger than your habit to follow through on what is important for you. Which brings me to the next part about how our distractibility, why are we so distractible, has to do with authenticity. Because you guys know I'm an authenticity coach. So you might be like, why are you talking about distractibility, Seth? Stay in your lane. The truth is, this goes back to authenticity. And in order to tie these two together, distractibility and authenticity, I want to pose another question. Why is it that what is important for us has become less important than escaping emotional discomfort? To answer the question of why have we become so distractible, I want to pose the question, why is it that what is important for us has become less important than escaping emotional discomfort? The answer to this is really complex, but the truth is, for so many of us, Escaping emotional discomfort has become our top priority for our brains because we have reinforced that pathway over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And we have belief systems that we are living in without questioning that support us enforcing that pathway over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, more so than ever even trying to reinforce the pathway of following through on what is important for us when it starts to feel uncomfortable. Our most frequently practiced activity is that we take part in daily food, TV, internet shopping, online shopping, gaming, apps on our phones, social media, alcohol, vacations, the list goes on, of the ways that we practice escaping emotional discomfort. That's the truth. That is our most frequently practiced habit. And this has to do with why we have become so distractible. But why has this become a habit for us? Why are we doing this so frequently? Why are we doing this on a minute-by-minute, hour-by-hour, even second-by-second basis? The answer is going to tie this all back to authenticity. The answer of why we have become so practiced at escaping emotional discomfort rather than doing what is important for us goes a bit deeper. And to answer this, we need to ask another question. What is important to me? Think about that. What is important to you? Go ahead and pause the episode. Take a minute. Answer the question for yourself. What is important for you? Your answer might surprise you. They might not. They probably range greatly from person to person. And for many people, the answer might include, I'm not sure, or I don't know. For those that don't include the phrases, I'm not sure and I don't know, I want you to ask another question to yourself. Why are your answers of what is important for you, why are they important for you? Why is that important for you? And for many of you that answer this question, the answer will include something like, it should be, it needs to be, it has to be. So you might be wondering where I'm going with this. Answering the question of what is truly important for us is crucial here. The reason why is because most of us do not know what is truly important for us. I've been talking about this for several episodes. I would say over the last 10 episodes, I have been trying to get through to you guys that so many of us do not understand what is important for us. We think we do. Of course, we think we do because our brain lives in the BS, the bullshit belief systems that we've been handed. And so our brain's like, yeah, of course I know what's important for me. I think what's important for me is, and can list off maybe 20 different things. But the truth of the matter is, if you really analyze what is important for you and why it is important for you, you're going to get a feeling in the pit of your stomach, maybe in your chest and your shoulders, where you start to tense up and you're a little bit uneasy about answering that question. Why is it important for you? Do you want to know why you get that feeling when you need to answer the question of why is it important for you? It's because you don't know, because it's not important for you. It's important for a belief system that you think you should, need to, or have to believe in. So you want to know why we have become so distractible? You want to know why we keep choosing the habit of distraction instead of following through on what's important for us? It goes back to authenticity. It's because we don't know what is actually important for us. We think we know what should be important for us, and we're trying our hardest to make it important for us and to really just get in there and do those things that are important for us, you know? But they're not really important for us. We're out here grinding and trudging away and in the trenches and being like, I'm working hard and like putting in the busyness. And we're all like grinding, like pat me on the back. Look at how hard I'm working here. But the truth is we're all working on bullshit, stuff that's not truly important for us. We don't know why it's important for us. It's not aligned with who we truly are and what we truly want out of life. And so we distract ourselves. We have gotten into the habit of distracting ourselves because the truth of the matter is, in the 21st century, we don't know what is truly important for us on any sort of authentic level. And when we don't know this at a time when we are being asked to constantly perform, create, contribute, interact, and compare ourselves and our lives with the billions of other people that we are ever more frequently becoming connected to via the internet and so many different other ways. When we are being asked to do this more and more and more frequently and more intensely and more 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 in the 21st century, and at the bottom of all of that lies a baseline of inauthentic wants that we're performing on top of. We're trying to launch ourselves into a life that we love on a platform that's a bunch of bullshit for us. And we know it if we would take the time to calm down and really pay attention to what we're trying to live our lives on. But we're not doing that because we're too busy out here comparing. We got to interact. We got to contribute. We got to perform. We got to create. We got to show. We got to get validation. We got to get acceptance. We got to get this out here and this and this and this and this and this and this. And 24/7, billions of other people's lives are being shoved in front of our eyes through screens that are always in front of us. And the emotional discomfort starts to set in as we are constantly taking action, trying to compare ourselves and analyze ourselves against billions of people that we are just becoming more and more connected to through the internet without ever knowing who we are and what we want out of life. And we spend so much time pressing down what is actually important for us because we're so busy trying to perform out here and do the things out here that'll make people proud of us and make us look like good, successful, performing individuals that are upstanding and virtuous and righteous in society. And look at me, I'm a good Christian. Look at me, I'm a good Muslim. Look at me, I'm a good businessman. Look at me, I'm a good businesswoman. Look at me, I'm a good dad, good mom, good brother, good everything out here. Look at me. We're all so busy doing that that we've stopped paying attention to the fact that all of this is built on a bunch of lies. And we won't stop long enough to see that the pain that we are experiencing that causes us to constantly reach back for that comparison, for that need to be validated and in front of other people and looking for the next dopamine hit, all of that stems from the fact that we don't know who we are and what we want out of life. And so while we're out here being asked to perform and do instead of be who we are, it's no wonder that that ever-growing emotional pain that we are experiencing as we constantly reject our true selves to try and perform out there for some comparison model that's not authentic for us, the pain keeps growing, and the ways in which we can distract ourselves from it grow along with it. And so does our habit to look to those things as the solution for our emotional discomfort. Instead of solving for the emotional discomfort, we just continue to mask it and show up in our inauthentic lives and perform and do, compare, seek validation, seek false acceptance, and just keep pressing down those feelings with another TikTok video, with another Instagram reel, with another feel-good inspirational post. Oh, that's a good one. I know you all love those. I see you all reposting these inspirational quotes all the time, and I'm like, yeah, why don't you live a life of that instead of telling everybody, this is how life should be. Wouldn't it feel so good if we all lived like this? Do it. But you're not. You know why you're not? Because you don't know what you want in order to get out there and do it. You don't know why that post is actually resonating with you and what it's actually asking you to do. It's not asking you to have a little dopamine hit of, oh, that felt good to read. I should share it. Oh, look, people are liking it. That felt good. Let me get a little bit more dopamine. Let me get back. You're not paying attention to the message inside of you that is asking you, hey, sit your butt down and listen. You're living out of alignment. And you are distracting yourself every day from what is truly important for you. And the longer you do this, the more distraction you will seek to avoid the emotional pain, as the gap between who you are designed to show up as in this life and who you are showing up as in this life because you should, need to, and have to, grows bigger and bigger and bigger. The bigger that gap gets, the more distraction you need. Have you all ever noticed how much more time you need on social media to take the edge off of your day, to de-stress, to decompress? Have you ever noticed how much more alcohol you need to de-stress and decompress? Have you ever noticed how much more food you need to decompress and de-stress? Have you ever noticed how much more binging things on Netflix you need in order to just feel like yourself again? Have you noticed how much it's just constantly increasing and increasing and increasing. And sure, you keep trying to resist it and be like, nope, I'm not going to let that become a habit. But you're just doing it in resistance. You have no idea why it became a habit, and you're not dealing with the underlying cause of why that became a habit. You just try and dive back into your work that is inauthentic for you because you don't know why you want to do it. You're just doing it to impress somebody else, your parents, friends, whatever out there. So you dive back into that to distract you from what's actually important for you. And then as the pain of that grows more and more and more because you have to perform more and more at this job and grow more and more in a job that is not authentically aligned for you, guess what you seek more of? Food, television, social media, alcohol, shopping, whatever it is. The truth of the matter is, my friends, the reason why we have become so distractible in the 21st century is because we are living lives that are so inauthentically aligned with who we actually are and what we actually want out of life. We are filling our calendars with more and more stuff to do that is either not authentic for what we want, or we have no clue why it's authentic for us. All we know is that we're being constantly told to try and prove our worth and acceptability in this life by completing those tasks by a standard that is being moved by the needle of comparison that is constantly growing bigger and bigger and bigger each day. The scale of comparison is growing more and more rapidly on a daily basis as we become more and more connected with more and more people globally. And this intensifies regularly as globalization moves forward, which globalization is not the problem here. The problem is globalization happening with societies that are full of people who don't know what they actually want out of life, what they want to believe about themselves in life, who are constantly looking around them for cues of what should be important for them and how to prove that they are good enough. This creates so much emotional discomfort for people. And at the same time, what exists? The habit of distraction in the background and all of the available outlets for us to choose to distract ourselves. You want to know why we have become so distractible? It's not because your brain is broken. It's not because the internet is broken. It's not because social media is broken or having phones is broken. It's because your relationship to your authenticity is broken. And you are living a life in resistance to what is truly important for you. You are living a life that is completely unaware of what is truly important for you. You are living a life in contrast to what is actually important for you. And then when the little voice inside of you, it's actually not so little, but you've made it little because you've buried it under so many layers of distraction, tries to pop its head up and say, hey, remember, you just stamp it back down with another distraction. And you let that emotional discomfort just keep growing and growing and growing because, hey, what's the problem with it? I can just distract myself with something else. And we keep searching for these band-aids to slap over the bullet wound that is inauthenticity. At the very core of distraction is inauthenticity, my friends. We can blame the industry all we want. We can blame markets all we want. But the truth is, we are choosing these methods of distraction. We are the ones driving the market. If we focus on the methods of distraction that we are all choosing and how available they are for us, then we miss the point here. The market, business, is just the market and business. It does what it was always designed to do, and that is to respond to demand. The market is being a responsible market. Businesses are being responsible businesses. The question is, are we being responsible human beings? Are we being responsible human beings because we're the ones increasing the demand for those methods of distraction from the market? Are we being responsible human beings for increasing the demand on the intensity and the availability, the speed at which we can access distraction? And we keep demanding that speed and that access is increasing constantly. This is where the real work begins, my friends. We can point our fingers all we want at tech companies and disempower ourselves. We can point our fingers at our brains and disempower ourselves. We can become victims to technology in our brains if we truly want to. But the question is, where's that going to take us? Is that really where we want to go? Have we forgotten where our power actually lies? Are we letting ourselves get sucked into a life of victimhood simply because we're afraid to ask the uncomfortable question, why am I choosing distraction? What am I avoiding that is important for me in life that I am afraid of? Where is the source of this emotional discomfort that I'm trying to avoid, and why am I trying to avoid it? Are we so afraid to ask ourselves these kinds of questions that we would rather just reinforce an industry and demand more from that industry to victimize us? Which the truth is, they can't victimize us, we victimize ourselves. But we're asking them to give us more methods to victimize ourselves. Is this really the direction we want to go? For me, the answer is no, it's not. I'm done with that bullshit. I'm done with blaming other people out there and waiting for them to change for me to be able to do what I want to do with my life. Screw that. You want to know why I got into coaching? Because I wanted to show more people that they can put the middle finger up to this disempowered victimhood mindset that we keep trying, the industry that we've created is trying to force feed to us. This idea that something is broken with our brain, something is broken with the internet, something is broken with this. All you just need is this new app, this new this, this new that, this new this. And then you'll be able to, distract yourself from this emotional discomfort. You'll be able to comfort yourself all day long. You'll be able to pleasure your way to your death. And we keep buying into this bullshit message about life, that the point of life is to avoid emotional discomfort. The point of life is just to seek pleasure at all costs and keep demanding that it be more intense and that we have better access to it and that it's faster at being able to remove our emotional discomfort. Instead of figuring out, why is that emotional discomfort there? What is it trying to tell us? What do we do with that to empower ourselves again? Because it's not there for no reason. It's there because it's trying to scream to us to wake the hell up and realize that we are living lives so vastly different from what is authentically important for us that there's no frickin' wonder that our brain is screaming to distract from the emotional pain that we are experiencing. And we are more than happy to indulge the brain in distraction. Yeah, here, have another cookie, have another this, watch this TikTok video. It's okay, brain. You just take the wheel and keep distracting me from what is important for me. I don't need those important things over there when we can have Netflix and we can have Instagram and we can have TikTok and we can just, survive work and then come home and distract ourselves from all of the discomfort of the fact that we're surviving a life that we don't want to be in. Why would I do anything different when I can just distract? And we've taught ourselves to believe this bullshit lie, to buy into this BS belief system and story, and we've created lives that reflect that. And so many of us out here are struggling with distraction. And we're like, why am I so distracted? Please give me another thing to point at and to blame and to be like, oh, that needs to change in order for me to not be distracted. My brain needs to be fixed in order for me to not be distracted. These phones need apps on them to stop me from being distracted. The dings need to go away. I need another phone that I can block these things out and blah, 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 blah. And oh, the Facebook and all these things out here, they need to change so that we can keep following that story. We can keep following that storyline and disempowering ourselves and waiting for things out there to change that are benefiting from us being distracted, by the way. So why would they change? We're waiting on them to change for us to take our power back, to be human frickin' sovereign beings in our lives and stop allowing ourselves to feed the habit of distraction and remove our distractibility. Don't remove the distractions. Those are just the chosen methods that you picked to distract yourself. And if you get rid of them, you'll find another method of distraction because you're not solving for your distractibility. You can remove all of the distractions that you currently have in your life. And good luck with resisting them for the rest of your life. Some of you might make it, but you're just going to find another way to distract yourself from what is truly important for you. The ways in which we can distract ourselves as human beings would astound you. Things that we would not even think of as distractions, such as work. We're like, well, work isn't a distraction. Being distracted from work is the problem. No, work can actually become a distraction because we bury ourselves in the busyness of inauthentic jobs because we're too afraid to look at what would actually be important for us and start living a life aligned with that. So we distract ourselves with that work, and then we come home and we distract ourselves from the emotional comfort of the fact that we've been distracting ourselves with work all day and avoiding the things that are important for us. And then when that emotional discomfort comes up because we've spent the whole entire day distracting ourselves with busyness at work, when the emotional discomfort comes up that's like, hey, remember that thing that's important for you? It's still here. You're like, nope, get away, gotta go back down. So then we look at food, we look at internet, we look at Netflix, we look at whatever we can find to distract ourselves when we're at home too. And then we can't wait to get on vacation where we can distract ourselves there from the life that we've built that we hate, that we just want to get out of. And we're like, God, I can't wait until I can retire and get rid of this life that I don't like, only to find that when we're retired, guess what we spend our time doing? Distracting ourselves from the things that were important for us for the last 60 years that we've avoided. Distraction is not something that happens to us. It is an action that we choose. It is a behavior. It is a habit that we choose because we are afraid to look at what is truly important for us and align our lives to it and show up authentically, be our true selves, let the people that are going to like us, let the people that don't, and realize that it's not about us. It's not that there's something wrong with us. That is about their experience of life, their beliefs about life, not about the truth of who we are. We're afraid to show up as that. We're afraid to be authentic, so we just keep choosing this pathetic habit of shrinking our lives down with distraction. My friends, I know you guys can tell I'm getting fired up over here. I'm very fired up here. Distraction is not something that happens to us. It's the last time I'm going to say it in this episode. Distraction is not something that happens to us. It is something that we are choosing because we are trying to avoid something that is important for us. You want to solve for distraction? Solve for your distractibility. How do you solve for distractibility? By knowing what is important for you in life and why it is important. So you know what it is that you want to move towards in this life. And you can create consistent action towards that thing in life, traction towards that thing that is important for you in life, and never be swayed from it. Because you know what is important for you and why. Distraction and traction, total opposites, but they both have the same root word, action. One is action that pulls us away from what is important for us. One is action that pulls us towards. We are choosing distraction because we are afraid to look at our internal triggers. We are afraid to look at the emotional experience that we are having of our own lives, to discover what it is that's been there this entire time that's been important for us, that's been trying to say, hey, listen, this is what you want to do with your life. This is what you truly want to contribute to this life. This is where traction begins. We want to solve for distraction, we solve for distractibility. We want to solve for distractibility, we solve for authenticity. Authenticity is at the core of an indistractable life, my friends. That is what I'm here to offer you. You want to know why it is that you keep finding yourself feeling distracted? It's because you are choosing distraction to hide yourself from something that is so beautiful and important for you. The solution is to lean in, listen. Let the fear be there. Listen. And find the way for you to show up for that life that you are designed to thrive in. Of course it feels scary. Of course it feels uncomfortable. To the brain, it will feel that way. But the truth is, when it authentically aligns with what is important for us, then leaning into that fear, leaning into that discomfort, leaning into that growth becomes what we want out of life. It becomes the 50-50, the 50% comfortable, the 50% uncomfortable that we choose to build a life that we truly want. Life is going to be 50-50 either way. The question is the 50% comfortable going to be what's truly fulfilling for you? And is the 50% uncomfortable going to be the growth that drives you to create more of the 50% comfortable that is fulfilling for you? Or is your 50% comfortable going to be cheap distraction? Is that going to be your 50% comfortable that only leads to you feeling unfulfilled and like you're living a shallow life? And then you need more and more distraction from that life. Is that going to be your 50% comfortable that you choose? Because then your 50% uncomfortable is going to be you living a life that creates results in life that you don't even want. You're contributing to creating things in life that aren't important for you. So you've got those two options here. We can choose the 50% comfortable as what truly fulfills us. And that means that the 50% uncomfortable is the growth that creates the 50% comfortable. Or we choose the 50% comfortable to distract ourselves. And then the 50% uncomfortable is going to be us growing things in life that were never truly important for us. And then we get to end of our life, to the end of our life. And we realize I spent the whole entire time avoiding what was truly important for me. All so that I could build what was important for someone else so that I could feel some sort of surface level amount of acceptability, which wasn't even real. Is that what you want to leave as your legacy for life? I can guarantee you for most of you, the answer is no. For me, it was a definite no. So I chose to solve for my distractibility, not for distraction. I chose to lean in and find out what is truly important for me in this life and show up for it. Even when people thought I was crazy, even when people still think I'm crazy, even when people think, why don't you just give up, Seth? I show up for it because I know what is important for me and nothing can distract me from that. Is it uncomfortable? Sure. But that 50% uncomfortable that I'm dealing with is building a 50% comfortable that feels so joyous and fulfilling for me that the 50% uncomfortable is worth it. Can you say the same about your 50% uncomfortable? Probably not, because your 50% uncomfortable is you building something else for someone else that's important for them, not for you. And your 50% comfortable is probably also not worth it for you, which is why you think you need more and more and more and more of it. Because it's just a distraction. So I'm here to offer you that there is a way to solve for this today, and it's authenticity. That's the key, my friends. It's the theme of this podcast. There's a reason why I coach in authenticity, because it all goes back there. You want to solve for distractibility, you solve for authenticity in your life. That's what I've got for you guys today. When you're ready to put in the time and work to stop this cycle of choosing and strengthening the habit of distraction, I've got your back. Just head to my website. It's linked in the show notes below. That's all I've got for you all this week. Distraction. Stop asking the question of why we are so distracted. Start asking, why have you become so distractible? And the answer to that is, why have you been avoiding what's truly important for you in life? What are you avoiding and choosing distraction and strengthening that habit to avoid? There's where your answer lies. I love you all. I'll talk to you again here next week. Ciao. Thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed the content of this podcast. If you did, please subscribe so that you're one of the first people to know when I release a new episode each week. If you have any questions, or if you have interest in learning more about the coaching that I do with my clients one-on-one, then just head over to my website at www.lifecoachseth.com. That's www.lifecoachseth.com. There you're going to have the ability to reach out to me for questions that you might have, or to book your free discovery call with me to discuss what one-on-one coaching with me might be like for you. You can also check out and order your copy of my book to get a taste of what I'm all about as a person and as a coach. I'm so happy that you joined us today, and I hope to have you here again next week. So until then, let authenticity be the guide to your most unstoppable and fulfilling journey of life.